Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Teaching us the kingdom, or how the kingdom operates, he connected the fact that the ability that we have to forgive people is closely connected to our level of faith. He says that it requires faith to forgive people, but then he also lets us know that when we learn to forgive, our faith will be effectual. So I don't know if you've ever had a moment where you felt like, but Jesus says, when we learn to forgive, our faith works. If you don't forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespasses, your ability to function like him. So let's backtrack a little bit. We're talking about outrageous faith. Now, when the whole purpose of this series, Outrageous, was kind of inspired to me as I thought about the outrageous claims of God in the Bible. The things that God asks us to do when you read the Bible, it's outrageous. Right? It exceeds the limits of what is usual, what is normal, what's typical, what's average, what's the status quo. And all throughout the Bible, we see these outrageous claims that we are invited into to live from. These realities that we can look to the Word of God and read a promise and begin to apply it to our lives. And when we begin to live from that reality, we begin to live outrageous lives. So the Bible is full of these outrageous claims, these outrageous promises. You know, from the beginning, we see in the New Testament that how Jesus was born of a virgin, right? That a virgin gave birth to a person. And we know that virgins don't have babies. It's not normal. That's not usual. That does not happen. Yet the claim is Jesus was born of a virgin. Is that normal or abnormal? Okay? And then we see that Jesus never sinned. Is that normal or not normal? As a matter of fact, we see that not only did Jesus never sin, he walked on water. Is that normal or, all right, he turned water into wine. Is anybody did that at home yet? You tried. All right. So we see these outrageous claims all throughout the Bible. And that's just Jesus. It's from the Old Testament all the way through. Okay? Now, what religion kind of does is downplay the reality of the supernatural by giving us this fantasy to live from, and we call it wisdom. We'll say things like, well, you know, that's not really what it meant. He didn't really find ways to try to explain away scientifically what the Bible outrageously claims happened. And so I've learned years ago that I'm either going to do one of two things. Either I'm going to believe what it says, or I'm going to throw this book away and live my life. I'll go out and make a lot of money, drive my sports car, go out and have a good time without the Bible if I'm just believing a hoax. But if it's real and if it's authentic, I'm going to live from it without excuse. I mean, I'm not going to make an excuse or explain it away. I'm not going to live halfway in the book and halfway out of it. Either it's happening or it's not. Either miracles happen or they don't. Are you hearing me? And so I realized it's not until you have this, it's almost kind of a rebellion you got to have when it comes to knowing the truth about who God is. Because when you look at Jesus, Jesus was gangster when he lived. He walked into the synagogues, he read the book, he would read one verse. There was no argument or debate. He said what the verse said. He said, look, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. This day that this verse is fulfilled in your ears. Close the book and sits down. That's not even normal. I preach for an hour. Jesus preached for 10 seconds. What if I did that one day? Read a verse, says fulfilled, and let's go home. But Jesus never lived for the approval and the praise of man. He lived with a freedom, and it was almost disrespectful because the people he knew was going to be offended. He didn't care if he offended them. You know, and that's one of the things you got to realize, that when you walk by faith, you can't be worried about whose toes you're going to step on. Because if you walk by faith, they walk with you. And so when you carry this desire to say, you know what, I'm going to pursue the claims of God, the outrageous claims of God, you begin to live an outrageous life. Because your life is only as outrageous as the promises and the dreams of God that you're willing to pursue. Your life is only as outrageous as the dreams you're going after. If you want an outrageous life, you got to go after some outrageous dreams and outrageous promises. And the book is full of outrageous claims that we can live after and we're supposed to live for. Amen? So I just wanted to talk about the outrageousity of God some more in relationship to faith. So, for example, when we go back to Mark 11, verse 22, look at how outrageous this text is. Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, actually, some translations, or the original translation, doesn't say have faith in God. It says have the God kind of faith. Have the kind of faith God has. Have the kind of faith God has. So Jesus said this. This is the kind of faith that God has. When you have a God kind of faith, you don't talk to God about your mountain. Jesus didn't say, when you have faith in God, talk to God about your mountain. What's the God kind of faith? Speak to your mountain. That's the outrageous claim of faith. God's kind of faith is, I don't look at darkness and talk about how dark it is. I say, let there be light in darkness. That was the kind of faith God had in the beginning, in Genesis, right? He didn't describe how dark it was. He declared what he wanted to see out of the darkness. And it happened. Many of us, we go to God in prayer, and we talk to God about how big our mountain is. How high it is. How many slopes it has. How many people couldn't climb over it. How cold it is up top. How low it is in the valley, between the mountains. We'll talk to God about our mountain, but that's not the kind of faith God has. And that's not the kind of language God wants to hear from you. He says, when you go to God, don't talk to him about your mountain. You're actually not even supposed to talk to God about it. You're supposed to go to your mountain and tell it what to do. That's outrageous thinking, isn't it? Right before that, we see Jesus speak to the fig tree. The fig tree didn't have fruit. And Jesus cursed the fig tree, and then a day or two later, they came back and saw the fig tree was withered up. Now, what will make you think that you can talk to an inanimate object like a fig tree, and then something happens as a result of that? Something we call faith. Dominion, authority. To know that the created things have to respond to you. You see, when we look at mountains, for example, a mountain can be a financial hurdle you can't climb. Loans that you can't pay off. Joblessness. It might mean that you've been looking for a job for months and nothing has been happening. You might have been going in prayer and talking about God, when will you provide? When will you make a way? Well, maybe the God kind of faith wants you to start declaring that you have a job now. Because I'm speaking to my situation and telling it what to do. That's the God kind of faith. Are you going to do it or not? I'm sick. Well, what did the Bible say to do? Pray about your sickness or tell your sickness what to do? He said, when you tell your mountain what to do, and look how detailed Jesus was about telling the mountain what to do. Be removed. Tell it where to go. Be cast into the sea. And then not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall what? Come to pass. So faith speaks. Faith says something. It's not just believing something, it's saying something, confessing something out of your mouth, right? So he says, verse 20, look at that. When you believe that these things are coming to pass, therefore, verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. But the end of verse 23 says that when you pray and when you talk to your mountains and you don't doubt in your heart, what do you say to do? Believe, everybody say believe, that those things he says will be done. And he will have whatsoever he what? He says. All right? So God designed you to have what you say. God, you were designed to have what you say, but unfortunately we say what we have. So I have a mountain, and I'm talking about my mountain, but that doesn't cause my mountain to be removed. I got to start speaking to mountains and tell them what to do. I speak to poverty. I speak to joblessness. I speak to sickness and diseases. I speak to hopelessness. So hear me. You speak to your circumstances, not speak about it. That's the God kind of faith. And the Bible says if you learn to operate this way, you will have what you say. Do you believe that? Mountains are stubborn. So he says, if you don't doubt in your heart, whatever you say, it shall come to pass. Whatever you say. Whatever you say. You ever wanted to have faith before and say something, but you were scared? You know, sometimes I really feel we get afraid of how great we really are. Or we get afraid of the fact that if this thing really works, I have to change my life. Because it's easy to have a reason to blame God for. If I really pray for this person to get healed, what demand will that put on my life for the rest of my life? Because now I have to live with the reality of knowing that this thing works. Okay? I don't want, this church is not going to be a church of excuses. Amen. Thank you, David. You got to shake them up. You know, there's the root word for faith is amen. Did you know that? I'm serious. Amen. Because when you seal something with an amen, it's your faith declaring that what I said, I believe is done. Come on. You never see Jesus pray for anybody. Pray for something when something needs to get done. He just got it done. Jesus prayed in secret. He spent time with God in secret. But when he was in public, he didn't pray that somebody would get healed. He healed them. No, it's funny how we can pretend to be Christians in church, but you can't pretend to be a Christian in the world. Because they're going to say, well, if you believe what you preach, show me it. But we can come to church and play like we know. The only way that I can really be the church is out the church. I want us to have a radical, outrageous, unapologetic faith. And that only comes when we get a grand understanding of what faith is all about. All right? And it really starts with this. Faith, and let me give you our faith definition. Faith is taking the outrageous claims of God and pursuing them. All right? It's as simple as that. It's choosing to live by what the Word of God says. That's faith. Faith is choosing to live by what the Word of God says. All right? It's very basic, but it's very powerful. Like, for example, let's look at another verse. Matthew chapter 6. Many of you know it. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Therefore, don't worry, Jesus says. Verse 31, all these things that you're worried about, the Gentiles, unbelievers, seek after, but your Heavenly Father already knows what you need. All right? So here it is in Matthew chapter 6, for example, Jesus said, we should not worry. That's an outrageous claim, because everybody worries. Everyone worries. There's a million things to worry about. Worry about your kid's safety. Worry about getting into a car accident when you go home. Can you worry about the supermarket's closed by the time you leave service because you want to go? All right. There's a million things to worry about. Worry about your health. Worry about terrorism on the train. But yet and still, Jesus explicitly says we should never worry a day in our lives. He didn't say there won't be reasons that come up that you can worry about, but he said you should not worry. So if I decide to take that claim, for example, and say, you know what? I'm choosing not to worry. I now begin to live an outrageous life. I'm living a life beyond what's usual and normal for everyone else around me. Because when everyone else is worrying and panic, I'm at peace and I'm at rest. And you know, there's so many diseases that have been linked to the stress that worrying puts on your body. Worrying, Jesus said worrying doesn't put one hair on your head. It doesn't make you lose 1 pound. Worrying does nothing for you. But yet, it's something that we all do. Why? You know, worrying is imagining your future without God. Right? It's literally just that. And the same way you can imagine your future without God, you can imagine your future with Him. So Jesus says, don't worry because your Father has already taken care of tomorrow for you. He's already taken care of today for you. So I can make a choice to live by faithlessness and worry just like all the other Gentiles. Or I can choose to live my life according to the Word of God, which says, don't worry. Amen. And we teach this stuff because You wouldn't need a healing miracle. Half the times, if we just learn to live by what the word says. Because there it is. There's a difference, a slight difference between faith and grace. You guys follow me? There's a slight difference between faith and grace. You see, grace is when God does something for you. That's grace. It's God's sovereignty at work. So miracles are an act of grace, right? God does something for you. Faith, on the other hand, is when God does something through you. So God can move a mountain for you, but then there are times when God wants you to move the mountain, and he wants to do it through you. It's still God, but there's moments when God will do work for you, and there's moments when God will do work through you. Grace and faith. And the truth of the matter is, both faith and grace is linked and based on the truth of what the word says. So there are moments when God will say, stand still, I got this. You shall see the salvation of the Lord. And there are times when God says, nah, I want you to do this. Remember when Moses went to part the Red Sea? He stood before the Red Sea and said, Lord, what are we going to do? God looked back at him and said, what are you going to do? He said, I've given you a rod, Moses, and I want you to outstretch that rod, and your seas will part. That rod is the word of God in your life. Whenever you use the word of God, your seas will part, your mountains will move. God has given us the word that created all things, and all things are upheld by his word. And if we are willing to step out and make this word become flesh in our lives, we'll begin to see the supernatural become natural in our lives. The impossible will become possible when we live by the word. You know, Jesus did the impossible to show you what's possible. Jesus did the impossible to show you what's possible, Christine. Anything Jesus did once is no longer impossible. Come on. I want to give you an upgrade of faith today. Anything Jesus did once became possible for us. So let me give you another outrageous claim, right? Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, verse, we all should know it. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank God for faith. You know the Bible says in the last days, seducing spirits will come to talk you out of having faith? 1 Timothy 4:1. Doctrines of devils and seducing spirits will come to cause you to depart from the faith. So there's a faithless Christianity that we call practicality. That we live a Christian life where we don't need faith. It's a very safe, kosher, clean Christianity that doesn't require me to invade the impossible. If Jesus said nothing is impossible, and he's calling us into a life where we invade the impossible, there should always be something in my life right now, some dream I'm pursuing that's bigger than me, that I should have a vision that I don't have enough resources for, that's impossible to meet, that I have the ability to accomplish in my own strength, that requires me to step out in faith. And every believer in this room right now should be believing for something bigger and greater than them. Come on. So you got to have big dreams. You got to have a big faith. And you got to believe in a big God to accomplish it. Come on. So I got to be willing to step out of the limb. Because that's where the fruit grows. Hallelujah. You want to see the fruit of the supernatural. You got to step out on faith. Come on, say I'm stepping out on faith. Hallelujah. What did I say to go? Mark 16, let me hurry up. Verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe in my outrageous claims. These signs will follow those, verse 17, who believe in my outrageous claims. In my name, they will what? Cast out demons. They will drive out unclean spirits. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. It's impossible to cast out a demon in your own strength. It's impossible to speak in new tongues without the Holy Spirit, right? What else will happen? If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. That's another outrageous claim.
Amen.
I don't know why you would drink something deadly, but if you happen to do so, just in case, if you believe in the outrageous claims of God, it won't harm you. You know, a big gulp in 7-Eleven might be that deadly thing. There's a lot of deadly things in the store today. What else he said? And if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. This is four different claims that you can live from right now. I don't know what level of faith you're on, but if you pick one of these claims and say, you know what, I'm going to pick that last one. If I lay hands on the sick, these hands have the power to cause people to get healed. All right? So next time somebody gets sick around me, I'm going to take that claim and I'm going to stretch forth my hand. I'm going to lay hands on them and I'm going to believe that that claim or that word will come to pass in my life. All right? I'm now pursuing the outrageous. What's not normal. Now, it didn't say, let's look at what it does say. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Recover. So does that mean something will happen immediately? It says that the recovery, possibly, right? That's a miracle. But healing is a process, right? Recovery. So we can see miracles and we can see healing. Either way, you do the laying on of hands, because it didn't say Jesus will come and lay hands for you. He said you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You will tell demons what to do and they will do what you say to do. Hallelujah. We are a supernatural church. Come on. I love the fact I'm seeing people's posts and Kenya and Ayana and the different people stepping out of faith and they're seeing this stuff come to pass in their lives. I want to see everybody walking in the supernatural. Because we're living an outrageous life. We are an outrageous church. We are an outrageous group of people. Amen. And we're going to pursue the supernatural. We're going to pursue that which goes beyond our limits. Because it gives credibility to the book we preach from. All right? So let me give you a few more outrageous claims. Isaiah 54, 14. Let me give you two more. Isaiah 54, verse 14. Somebody say hallelujah. Before you go there, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5, 21. So you can look at both. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. It says, "For he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." All right, verse 17 says, in that same verse says, and same chapter says, "I'm a new creation. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." All right, that term, "you are a new creation," says that you are a new species that have never existed before. That's what new creation means. You are a new type of being. All right, so one of the lies we say today is that I'm only human. You're no longer only human. You are a new creation. And the spirit of the resurrected Christ lives in you. All things have passed away. So what human beings are limited to, you are no longer limited to that. You are exempt. And you shall know the truth. The truth will make you free from what other people are limited to. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul rebuked the Corinthian church and said, "You're acting like mere men. Because you're arguing about who's a better preacher, me or Apollos." He They act like mere men. We're not mere humans anymore. We are new creation. That's an outrageous claim, isn't it? But he says, if you believe this, that you're a new creation, new things, there are new possibilities, there are new capabilities in you, there's potential in you. And then he says in verse 21, he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we can become the righteousness of God. So one claim is, I'm a new creation. That's another claim you can choose to live from, church. You are a new creation. Look at somebody next to you and say, you are a new creation. You are no longer a mere human. You're an alien. The Bible says that too. Not green, ET-looking aliens. But we're foreigners. We're no longer part of this world. You get what I'm saying? All right, so it says that you're a new creation. That's one claim to live by. Another claim is you are righteous. All right, he became sin so you can become righteous. All right, so I don't make myself righteous anymore. I am righteous. That means I qualify for every blessing, every promise God has for me. All right, that's another claim to live by. So when you pray for someone, you're not thinking about how sinful you are. You're thinking about how righteous you are to do this. When I speak to my mountain, I'm thinking about how righteous I am to tell this mountain to move. Hallelujah. All right, I'm renewing my mind on these outrageous claims. All right, one more, and I'm done. Isaiah 54, verse 14. Hallelujah. Verse 14 says this, Isaiah 54. In righteousness you shall be established. All right, so unless you understand that you already are righteous, your faith will never be established. You get this? The reason why sometimes we doubt our faith is because we don't think we're righteous. We don't think we're qualified, don't think we're holy enough. Right? So as long as you keep thinking there's something you got to do about your sins to get right, you'll never have the faith to walk in the supernatural. All right? So this I'm going to teach a series on righteousness alone because it's so important to your faith to understand that you're righteous by faith, not by works. All right? So he says this, but now in righteousness you shall be established and you shall be far from oppression. Anybody want to claim that claim? All right, I'm far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Why? Because you know you're righteous. So you don't walk around thinking a curse is going to come on you. You don't walk around in fear of people because you know your righteousness is in Christ. All right, and he says you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and you'll be far from terror. We're not done from that verse. And you'll be far from terror, for it shall not come near you. All right, so here's another claim. Terrorism will not come near you. Amen. Terrorism will not come near you. Amen. All right? So when you get on the train and you see another person with their head tied up, who looks from the Middle East, like they're from the Middle East, are you going to be afraid? Tell them amen. I won't respond in fear anymore because I know I'm far from terror. So if God allows this person to come next to me, even if they had a bomb on them, that bomb won't go off. Because terror is far from me. Hallelujah. Claim it. Claim it. Right, we claim the word of God over our lives. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. They can be formed, but they won't prosper. As a matter of fact, they'll bless me. I tell my weapons what to do. I tell the weapons, you form against me, you're going to end up blessing me. Hallelujah. Come on. You say you like that? You want to curse me, you're going to end up blessing me. Come on. That's outrageous faith. You tell your mountains what to do. You tell those weapons what to do. You speak to your circumstances. Come on. Right now, there's faith in the room, and you need to begin to speak to some things. Hallelujah. Come on, there's some things you need to speak to right now. Grace is what God does. Faith is what God does through you. God wants to work through your mouth. He wants to work through your hands. Come on, all over the room, let's begin to decree and declare who you are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? We command every demon in hell to know its place under our feet. We speak to joblessness and we declare provision. We decree an increase of favor and money all around us. We decree promotion. We decree increase, fruitfulness. Come on. I speak to the sick that's in here, and I send forth a word and declare that you are healed. You are healed by the blood of Jesus. Recover, be healed in Jesus' name.